Money and Markets. The title of our Salieri report last week was Are We in a Deflationary Spiral? Wonderful interview with Rambus. Great charts that really help you see the perspective on most of the big sectors. We saw precious metals, commodities, the currencies, the US dollar index, and equities. There's no doubt we're seeing significant drop in commodities globally. There was an interesting article from Bloomberg this week that I put up in Top Picks, talking about the wealth effect to consumers and producers of lower oil and gas prices. Let me just read it. A new note from Francisco Blanch at Bank of America Merrill Lynch, however, puts the oil move in a much bigger perspective, arguing that a sustained price plunge will push back $3 trillion a year from oil producers to global consumers, setting the stage for one of the largest transfers of wealth in human history. Blanch and his team already see evidence that the fall in the price of crude is having a positive impact on demand and say that it could accelerate even further if prices don't pick up. I agree. The challenge is because of the debt issues you're watching, the danger of credit destruction. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. One of the dangers, of course, is the Chinese and the emerging markets who've really suffered from having borrowed dollars and now having to pay it back as they're more expensive. We saw a drop in the US dollar index over the last week of 3 points, which is pretty breathtaking. It takes it back to where it was last October. There's a very interesting piece from Ambrose Evans Pritchard, which I also put up on the website, and you might want to take a look. Basically, what he's saying was that the yuan was going to have to devalue if the dollar index didn't come down quickly, and that by this happening, it's giving a breather to China, who's really struggling with their debt. What the Rambus article points out, though, is that we're in real inflection points with respect to the US dollar, gold, and equities. And particularly as far as the US dollar or gold, it could break either way. Very difficult to tell. And as I'll discuss later under questions, I find technical analysis. I've worked with people who tried to use it as a predictor. I don't think it's a very good predictor, particularly when you have such a centrally managed and political economy. But I find technical analysis, particularly of the kind that Rambus does, really outstanding to help me understand the historical mapping of prices and flows, which really helps me work out scenarios in the way I don't think the future can be predicted, but I think that I use scenario planning for strategic planning and investment strategy, and I find really good technical analysis to help me do that. So other people use it as a trading system or predictor. I know Rambus does, but I find it not possible to predict sort of what's going to happen, particularly short and intermediate term in this kind of highly political environment. I put up a commentary this week called The Execution of Lavoie Finicum Cui Bono. The federal government literally sort of set up a entrapment and then executed one of the ranchers out in Oregon. I think it is a complete waste of time to get into blaming or attacking the FBI. I really think it's extremely important in these kind of situations to look through and see who the real culprits are. One of the theories put forward was John Rappaport's regarding the Clinton uranium deal. If you're interested, you can go look at the story of while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, the Clinton Foundation accepted a lot of donations relative to essentially a uranium deal by a Canadian company selling to the Russians. And it's one of those long, complicated, really ugly stories, but it's typical of the kind of deals that are being made by business people and politicians regarding federal assets and federal lands. It's what I ran into at HUD. You run into it all the time. And when sort of the people in control make these backdoor deals, the problem is they make the deal and then it turns out that it's in violation of laws or, fundamental economics or local regulations. And you get these situations where the local folks have to be jammed, and this is clearly one of them. So it's, I think the way to deal with these situations is if the general population can get good at looking back to see who's really, basically sending, putting out the order for the execution as the opposed to the people doing it. We could really power shift these situations. So this is something where transparency can help a lot. But it's a very bad precedent. Now, these kinds of things have been happening for decades, so I can't say that this is anything new, but it was terribly depressing to see it and then see, basically people in Iowa, whether in the media or some of the people caucusing, treating Hillary Clinton like she was a legitimate candidate, and zero accountability. So part of the problem is we have too many people in the general population that don't want the red button to be pushed. And so, the message is if a politician will keep Disneyland going and keep the red button from being pushed, there's a portion of the population that's going to support them. And the reality is that problem is not the Clintons, that problem is us. And that can be very depressing to see. Another very depressing thing, we saw the Texas Governor Jeb Bush and Mario Rubio calling for a constitutional convention. The problems with such a thing are off the charts, and I'm not going to get into it to detail tonight, but the reality is, one, the process can be hijacked. If you look at what they're calling for limited amendments, but I assure you Mr. Global can hijack the process, and you don't even want to open it up. The amendment they're calling for is a balanced budget amendment, which is ridiculous because now that we have $8.5 trillion missing from the federal government and we've given out $27 trillion in bailouts, so you have $40 trillion in missing plus bailouts, and now you're going to call for a balanced budget without calling for that money to come back. I cannot stress enough the importance of basically saying, what we need is to enforce the current Constitution. We don't need to change it. We need to enforce it. And if you're not going to enforce the Constitution, if you're not going to follow it, then you don't need a new one because you're not going to follow that either, right? So the reality is, we need for the people who are not obeying the Constitution, because I know you and I are, we need the people who are not obeying the Constitution to obey it, starting with number one, getting the $8.5 trillion back. Holding people accountable for that, and number two, bringing transparency to the black budget. And the reality is, using common law right of offset and taking equity participations, there is a way to get the $8.5 trillion back. So, be very, very wary of talk like this. It's very, very dangerous. Let me go through money and markets and remind you again, we put up the charts for subscribers as of the Friday close. It goes up either Sunday night or Monday morning, but you'll have it before trading opens on Monday morning. And that's just a roundup of charts that I use to kind of track the market. S&P 500 down another point and a half since the close of the year, or point and a quarter since the close of the month. So we're down 6.3% so far this year. There were no IPOs in the U.S. markets in January. It was the first month without an IPO in over 4 years. Given the uncertainty in the market, it doesn't surprise me, though, that underwriters would not want to bring an issue. So we'll see what happens in the first quarter. Gold is now performing nicely. It's up almost 9%. Silver up 7.5%. So they are doing well, and the big drop in the US dollar over the last week, 3 points, has helped them enormously. Oil now down 21.5% for the year. Oish. We had Dennis Gartman. This article is up on the website. I'd encourage you to take a look at it. Oil will fall sharply lower than anyone ever imagined. And he mentions Northrop Grumman having fusion. The Germans have done their first fusion plan, as Dr. Farrell and I discussed when we did the wrap-up. And of course, Lockheed announced last year that they have fusion, but you now have, sort of widespread talk about fusion coming online. a lot of talk about solar energy becoming much more efficient as a result of innovations in material sciences and battery technology. So there's a lot more understanding of the competition from a variety of different renewable and breakthrough energy technologies. And again, with the Germans bringing a fusion operation online, you know, it makes it a reality. So I thought it very interesting that Gartman started to talk about this. Check out the article. It's kind of a bellwether. You know, how fast it could come, I don't know. But even if it's slow, the market simply knowing it's going to come is going to change pricings. The DAX in euro is now off 12.56%. But again, the dollar euro is now soaring. So I would expect it would do better as the dollar falls. FXI, the China large cap, is now down 15% for the year. China really hurting. The developed markets, less North America, down almost 7%. Or emerging markets down 5.5%. The bond aggregate is now up 1.31% for the year. TLT, the 20-year Treasury ETF, is up 6.83%. And to say that interest rates have come down a lot is unbelievable. The debate in the marketplace this week on interest rates was just amazing, with many indicating that they interpreted the yield curve to say that the market doesn't expect the Fed to raise interest rates until later this year, and that the Fed will backpedal. You also had a number of major bond players, PIMCO among them, coming out and saying, no way, the Fed's not going to backpedal, you're misreading it. Interest rates will be much higher by the end of the year. So interesting point of view for somebody who's running the largest bond fund. So real discussion, and of course the Fed is now saying they want to be prepared for negative interest rates. And that really set off a fear. I have gotten a lot of questions this week about negative interest rates. The 5 to 7 year Treasury ETF is now up 3.81%. The junk bond, the high yield ETF, off 3.89%. Let me just read you one. High yield bonds issued by gas and oil companies grew to more than $250 billion last year, up from $95 billion in 2012. So there's no doubt we've poured enormous money into the, particularly the independents, to go build domestic reserves. Yet with the price of oil 65% below its 2012, many energy companies now find themselves in a cash flow pinch. And frankly, that's because credit is tightening. So, you know, we're in for some credit destruction in the oil and gas market. The commodities index, the Thompson Jefferies Commodities Index, now down 7.27% for the year. One thing that's very much up is food prices. And I put a couple of articles up this week about food price increases, including in China, very significant. And there's a wonderful speech by a London investment banker that I put up from a Norway conference. I put the video up where she talks about the importance of food and the significance of food inflation. So even while we're watching oil and gas and many wholesale commodity, agricultural commodities, the price dropped. The retail price in food all around the world is, the food inflation is pretty significant. The Baltic Dry Index is at an all-time low, and pretty shocking. And some articles up on the website about that as well.